Now, thank you to all who have come to these meetings. And if you didn't hear, and if it announced Sunday night that we were having gospel meetings, that's because it wasn't announced. It was just something that it was decided we would have three gospel meetings from Tuesday night, Wednesday night through to Thursday night. So Tuesday to Thursday in the will of God at 7:30 for the preaching of the gospel. And the gospel is good news, but it's against a dark background. Something as horrific as the cross would not be wonderful if it was not that it delivers us from such a dreadful place called hell. So the message of the cross is good tidings. It's good news, and that there is salvation for sin. And you can have that. So that's what the gospel message is. Again, please remember these meetings at 7:30, the next three nights, including tonight, and we would invite you to return. Let's speak to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for these words that we've sung. Hark, I hear the dull blow of the hammer swung low. They are nailing my Lord to the tree. The cross they upraise while the multitude gaze on the blessed man, the dear man of Calvary. We give thanks for what he has done. It wasn't enough that he came from heaven. It wasn't enough that he did miracles. It wasn't enough that he gave wonderful teachings that our lives would be much improved in the character of them if we kept his teachings. But all of that was wonderful, but it was not enough. What has accomplished salvation is when he went to the cross. And there in the darkness, after men had done their worst to him, thou didst punish him for our sins. We would thank thee. That's the secret to salvation. That is the means of salvation. We would ask for help to proclaim that message now tonight as we look to thee. Also for preservation upon the roads, all traveling tonight, and particularly afterward now on the way home, we would just commit to thee the preservation of these people. We would pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to read in the book of 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I don't know what you would think if there was some cure for some dreadful disease that we had. Some people were suffering, and that somehow someone come up with a cure, and it actually worked, and if they kept it to themselves. If they kept it maybe to just a select few. Sometimes these things are very costly, and perhaps there are only some cures. They're not available. Some miracle drugs are only available to people that have a certain financial level, a certain status. They have enough money to pay for it. And that's one of the sad things about when it comes to earthly disease and sickness and all of that. There are real life sicknesses. There are things in our world that cause death. And science has devoted itself. People have devoted their lives. Scientists have devoted their lives to finding and developing and making safe and testing cures. And finally they come out and they're advertised. Imagine what the headlines would say if somehow something that had been in the works, something that was in the testing stages, when finally Health Canada had approved it and the cure for, we'll say, some kind of cancer that was killing people today, tomorrow the headlines would say, a cure for such and such a cancer has been found. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? I mean, there are people here that have had their lives affected by cancer. There are people that are very close to people that are here that have passed away from cancer. It has ended their life here. And Of course, without a cure, it will keep on happening over and over again. You say, well, that's kind of a strange way to start a gospel, a religious meeting. Well, that's what this is telling about. It's saying that, it's not just saying the telling forth of the message of the cross. It's saying the actual message that is entailed in the cross, the actual doctrine behind it, the whole idea, the whole logic. The message of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. It's absurdity. It's not enough. But to us which are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. You see, when it comes to the problem that this verse presents, it's not that it is not being told. The Lord Jesus sent 10 men, 11 men out across the countrysides of Judea and Galilee. And then it began to branch out into the world from then. And the gospel of how Christ Jesus came to save sinners, how the gospel, the good news, has been preached for almost 2,000 years. We're not waiting for a cure. You see, there are some people tonight and you think, well, it's just a matter of finding the right church. It's just a matter of doing the right research and eventually coming down to it, and there will be that aha moment. And you think, that's it. I found it. Well, if you're waiting for an aha moment, this might not be it. There is a moment that is very special when it comes to the preaching of the cross. It is indeed when you hear it, you understand it to a degree, and you accept it. Even with what it tells you is the need for it, that we are sinners. And Christ Jesus came to save sinners. You see, the message, the doctrine of the cross is what this presents. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So just think about this in three simple ways tonight. First of all, when it comes to them that perish, those that are perishing, and them that are saved, those who are being saved, I want you to think about it this way. There is an assessment that must be made in light of what God's word tells us. Every person must hear it. And in their mind, they must assess, is this coming from God? And if it is, how does it affect me? Does this describe me? Am I described in this verse? You see, that's not very difficult to understand. It's not very profound because you and I do that all the time. We receive messages. Sometimes I have a habit of scanning news headlines. And I just want to know roughly what's going on. And I just kind of scroll the one thumb thing up through the headlines and see, is there anything that affects me? Is there anything that intrigues me? Is there anything that interests me? And if there is something, I'll actually click on it and I will read. And I might read linking articles. But when it comes to a gospel meeting, so often people never arrive at this assessment in light of the Word of God that I need to assess myself, my own life. Not in the opinion of others. You see, sometimes, but rather in light of the Word of God, before I get ahead of myself, sometimes people come to the gospel meeting and they think, I don't like how I felt in that meeting because I think the preacher was actually assessing me. I think the people were assessing me. They were judging me. But that's not the case here tonight. If that is somehow your perception, then we are conveying it to your realm. We are not here to assess you. And no one here is assessing you. We are talking to you and we are giving you information from the Bible so that you might have an accurate assessment of yourself, of your life, of your relationship with God. The fact that we are a sinner is proven in the Bible. It begins and it says that there were two people that were innocent. They had never sinned. And when it came to the point of testing, where there was one commandment, will they obey or disobey? They disobeyed. And through one act of disobedience, they themselves became sinners. And hence they were affected by death. They became subject to death. They came under death. It was a power. Their life was now limited. And although Adam lived in that day with a much healthier earth and a much non-polluted gene pool and all the rest of it, Adam lived very close to 1,000 years. But he died. And death itself is something that God has caused would come in. It is a direct result of sin, but it's a mercy of God so that people will not live forever in their sins. They won't carry on committing more and more sins, because every single sin that is committed is an offense to God. He feels that keenly. It's an affront to who he is as a person. It's his world. We defile it. We defile ourselves. And we rebel against God. So when it comes to the assessment in light of the Word of God, we find the very first two people in our Bibles, our foreparents. They became sinners. And Romans tells us that through their disobedience, many were made sinners. So many, all the many of our world, all the people that were born since, because of the disobedience in that original sin, as Adam and Eve have sinned, so every one that came out from two human beings, and as that family tree spread and spread and spread, the whole world were affected by their disobedience, by their sin. And all have sinned. The assessment of Romans chapter 3, verse 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the assessment of the Bible, just summed up in a nutshell. And in this it just says, as a result of sin, how it is affecting me, there are those in the verse, it just described like this, those who are perishing. And there are those who are saved. Those who are headed to heaven. Those who have been affected by the cross. Now, tonight, I want you to assess yourself in light of the Word of God. What does the Bible say about me? How does it describe me? Where do I stand? It's like being located on a map. Where am I in light of God? In light of eternity? In light of heaven and hell? In this earth? How do we relate to God? But don't just do it just pulling things out of thin air. Don't just do it by what feels good or what feels wrong. Imagine approaching medical issues that way, just as if it's what feels good and what feels wrong, or what feels right and what makes me feel bad. You know, it's not very nice to hear bad news from a doctor. But if we never acknowledge and we never visit a doctor to be assessed, how could we ever have a cure? And if we never acknowledge what the Bible says about me and my sin, how could I ever benefit from a cure, even if it comes from God? The verse says there is a cure. The whole doctrine behind the cross is for them that perish. But what will you do with that? Will you allow yourself to be assessed by the Word of God? Or will you just go away saying, well, it didn't feel very good. I was kind of frightened by that. Or I was kind of angered by that. And you get so taken up with your feelings, you forget to acknowledge or to decide, are these the facts? The Bible gives us the facts. It's so much, not so much dealing with the feelings, it's dealing with the facts. So what is required tonight is not a deeper knowledge so much as an honesty before God in light of the Bible. What does it say about me? And as this verse of good news of salvation is presented, there is an assessment that every single person needs to make. Where do I stand in light of what this verse is saying? There's only two classes of people. There are those who are perishing and those who are saved. They haven't received heaven yet, but they know they're going there. They haven't stood in God's presence yet, but they know they've been made right to stand in God's presence by the work of the cross, by the Savior who took their place. So tonight, just to plant this seed on your mind, you need to assess your life and who you are and what you are and what your ultimate destiny will be in light of spiritual truth, which the Bible gives us. The Bible deals in facts. An assessment that must be made in light of God's word. It's one or the other. Perishing or saved. It's one of the two. If you are saved, there's a time in your life when it took place. It's not a process. It's not something you always believe because we're not born that way. This is a wide gate, the Savior said. It's spread across all of human history. It's spread across all of humanity. All enter the broad road. This is the default road. This is an exit. And an exit is only good if you see it and you take it. And if you are saved, there's a time in your life when you took the exit. It's an entrance, really. It's an entrance to all God's blessing. It's an entrance to heaven. It's an entrance to the way to heaven. And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So an assessment that must be made in light of God's word. Secondly, I want to think of an accomplishment that is eternal in its value. It says the preaching of the cross. The cross. Now, many people think a cross is something you wear. A cross is something you put up on the side of the road where someone dies. We see them all the time. A cross is something you put on a church building to mark it out from something different. It's almost a universal system, signal or symbol of religion and things like that, or death or something like that. But when it comes to this, this is not just talking about the emblem, the symbol of the cross. It's talking about the whole death and work of the Lord Jesus. There is a message. There is a doctrine behind the cross. It's not just some random symbol. It doesn't just mark church buildings. It's not to wear around the neck just to remind us, well, somehow this is my lucky charm that will keep me safe. No, no, no. The cross to those who are saved means something so much more. The cross marks something that was never true before. It marks the moment in time when God had found a means to deal with sin and sin could be forgiven. The cross marks a moment when the Lord Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, actually bowed his head in death, having said, "It's finished." See, that's the word of accomplishment. And the Bible tells us that Christ satisfied God for our sins. He died on the cross in my stead. In your stead, he died for the sins of the world. He is a propitiation, not for the sins of the whole world, but not from our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. God was moving toward the cross where the Lord Jesus died from the moment sin came in. It's not that he tried a number of things and they didn't work. He was always moving toward the cross. You say, well, why all the Old Testament sacrifices? Why the tabernacle? Why the blood that was shed? Why all those things? Why the rituals and the religions of the Old Testament that are still in existence today? Just they've changed and they're a different form in religion. Religion gives us something to do. It gives us somewhere to go. It scratches the itch of knowing there is a God in reality. But religion accomplishes nothing when it comes to putting away sin. You know, all religion did with all the blood and the sacrifices of the Old Testament, all it really did, it allowed God to dwell among a sinful people, because when they brought a sacrifice, they were acknowledging that I have sinned and I need a victim to die in my place. And it reminded him that the cross was in the future. It was coming, the cross of Christ. And finally, after 4,000 years of human history, and after 1,500 years of ritual, even in the God-given religion of Judaism, all of that could not accomplish what was done in an instant when after 3 hours of all that man had done to him, and now 3 hours in the darkness when it was just God and Christ. And the Bible says, he, God, made him, Christ, to be sin for us. It means he took my place and he suffered my punishment. and all that God required so that sins could be forgiven and so that people could take this place given by God, granted by God, promised by God, them which are saved, it is because something was accomplished at the cross that no other person or method could ever accomplish. The Savior died as a substitute, and it pleased God. You know, I was thinking that last hymn that we sang, that when from the sod, it was talking about the resurrection. He not only died, but God raised him from the dead to declare that the work is finished. It is accomplished. And it's a declaration of appeasement and of expiation, of sin being dealt with, that my sin has been dealt with and I can be saved. And so we have the accomplishment that is eternal, that will never expire, that will never run out. There'll never be a time when the work of Christ is not enough for me. There was a night when I accepted it, and it will be enough forever. The timeline to accept it will come. There is an expiration date on the gospel, but not on the value of the cross. It will be something that we will thank God for forever. And so we have an assessment that must be made in light of the Word of God. We have an accomplishment that is eternal in its value. But you know that there is an allotment that is due to every person based on the response to the cross. There is something that comes from, as a result of, in lieu of, following my response to the cross. Paul gives us really two very simple ones. To those who are perishing, it's foolish, it's absurd. It's not enough. It's silliness. How could it work that a person who died could benefit anybody? Wasn't that less than a triumph? Wasn't that a thing that was just sort of a weakness that he died? No, not with him. It was an accomplishment. And there is an allotment for those who judge the cross to be less than what God said it is, the method of salvation, that which satisfies God. There's an allotment. It says they're perishing. They're on the road to hell. There's a time that will come when they will be bereft of every sense of well-being, every blessing will be removed, and there will be nothing positive, no hope, no joy, only the punishment of God for sins, perishing. But to us which are saved, it is the power. It's the power of God. This is God's method. This is the way that God saved me. This is the way I will be in heaven. This is the dynamite of God to bless me from sin and from a standing in Adam and place me in Christ, in the family of God, in the home of God. I want to tell you, don't judge it by what you see in us now. It's wonderful to be saved. We have the knowledge of it. But there's so much more to come in light of the fact that we trusted Christ, God's method, and God has saved us. And he says we're going to be with him forever. Everyone in this meeting will receive an allotment, something that's coming to them, based on how you face the cross, based on whether you receive it or reject it, based on whether you trust him or turn your back on the Savior. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God.